Exhibits. This is Jody.
Hi, Jody. Howard Wedgel. If you don't mind, just tell me a little bit about what you do for the museum.
Sure thing. My name's Jody Shamer, and I'm the Director of Exhibitions and Digital Media here at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. So we have a lot of people that work on both exhibits and media, but I have an opportunity to oversee a lot of our projects, help select our temporary exhibitions, and help set the vision for our permanent exhibitions, as well as some of our interpretive products that come through digital media, videos, animations, audio recordings, that sort of thing.
Okay. And how long have you been with the museum?
20 years, although not always in the same job I'm in right now.
Wow. And you started when you were 10.
Oh, that's very kind.
So in that 20 years, then I'm sure you've seen quite a lot of changes, not just at the museum, but in, you know, in museums such as yours around the country and how to exhibit, et cetera.
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons I love working at a museum, and I love the museum field as a whole. It is a constant field of reinvention and learning from each other, learning from our guests, reinventing what we do and how we do it. It's no 2 years are ever alike.
Where does the inspiration come from what you do?
From our communities right now, I would say. We've learned so much, particularly in the last few years, just of really having a chance to listen to what our communities are interested in and the direction that they would like our museum to go to be more relevant. And museums all over the country are doing this as well, and so also gives us a chance to learn from each other.
In my article that is going to be posted, you know, for my visit to the Ultimate Dinosaur exhibit, I notated how, you know, as a kid, I just remember the dioramas and how much, you know, things have changed. You know, as the audience obviously has changed. But where do you, you know, where did that start, and, you know, where do you see it going?
Well, that's a lot of questions in there. Let me see. I think that, you know, in the history of museums, changes has always happened. It's just who are the people that are coming to the museums and how can one respond best to communities. So back, you know, more than a century ago, museums were cabinets of curiosities, where in general it was individuals that probably had more education and more money, that they had some leisure time, not always, but a lot, you know, had an opportunity to share with other like-minded individuals, and they kind of all spoke to each other. There was one big change in the, I think it started in the late 60s and really took hold in the 70s, of trying really to not be as academic and elitist as organizations, and how could we respond more to what people that weren't necessarily specialists and weren't necessarily, didn't necessarily have the money to indulge in hobbies of, you know, natural history collections and what they had a chance to do. And I think from that launch point, you know, museums have just continued to evolve steadily to become more and more community focused. So as you talked about the difference between maybe when you came to our museum as a child and when you come to our museum recently, you know, we have far more avenues of approaching the different topics and the different wonders of the natural world and learning about cultures, many more paths to that learning than we used to have. It's not all reading-based anymore. It's not all text-based, or, you know, we have, for many years now, we've done more with media. We've done more with videos. We've done some with audio and sound. And we've done with hands-on and kinesthetic opportunities and, you know, things you can touch and things that you can feel. More recently, especially with the number of young visitors that our museum has and that are moving into our Denver metro area, we have had all these opportunities with, you know, imagination plays, something that young audiences really excel at, and it's a way for them to comprehend their world by imagining themselves within it. And then, you know, what you were seeing in Ultimate Dinosaurs, the ability to pull in virtual reality, augmented reality, and other types of, you know, evolving technology tools as vehicles to carry the different stories and content that we offer at the museum.
Are exhibits such as they are now, is it geared to trying to attract a more younger visitor, or is the older one also on the horizon? I mean, are they, you know, when you plan such an exhibit, what demographic, if you will, what, you know, what age group are you looking to really trying to attract?
Mm-hmm. Well, we try, I'm going to answer it in two ways. One is that we try to have sort of a menu of different experience options at our museum. That doesn't mean we necessarily have two on dinosaurs and two on gems and minerals and two on mammals of North America, but we try to, across all the different subject matters, all the different content areas that we offer here, we try to have some spaces that reflect the type of learnings that usually younger audiences like to do, maybe more interactive, maybe more active, more movement, more imagination play. We have other places that are more reading-based, maybe more video-based, more contemplative, that offer opportunities for some of the types of learning that are often found among non-young, whether they're older or just adult visitors, you know, audiences. So we try to make sure we have spaces for everybody, but we also know that the dream goal, which is sometimes, you know, a little contradictory, but we hear over and over and over again, is most people like to come to our museum in groups. We occasionally have individuals that just come, but most people are, you know, a group of two, a group of three, a group of four, and very, very often that group is multi-generational. And so you're having the same group that wants to both enjoy the museum together and have a social and learning opportunity, you know, with each other, not just with the museum, but with each other, of grandchildren learning from grandparents, maybe grandparents learning from grandchildren. So we try to figure out how we can create environments that are multi-generational, where any member of a party could find something that works for him or her as an entree point to the content, and yet at the same time relatable, and they can see that relationship for other members of their party.
Well, I appreciate the time, Jody. I think that, again, when I visited last week, it was such an amazing exhibit, and you did a great job, and it's engaging, and, you know, as people age, they don't want to be alienated, and I think that this is a great way for them to spend time not just with themselves, but, you know, with grandchildren, as you said. And,
well, great.
And I think that hopefully my readers will take upon themselves to check it out, and I appreciate the time.
It's my pleasure. I hope that many of your readers and listeners will have a chance to see Ultimate Dinosaurs and the other exhibits we offer here, and we welcome feedback at any time if you have suggestions or thoughts about how we might improve the museum experience.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Howard.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.